the computer age has demonstrated a truth which I guess all of us have known but don't think about too often. That is that knowledge is power. We live in a day whenever it's important to know and to understand. And knowledge, information is at the fingertips of most people today. In order to not be left behind, why, you've got to just about be plugged into the information highway. Knowledge is power. Success in every field, whether it's from business to one's own personal relationship with others about him, depends upon one's knowledge. Families are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. One of the things that I do more often than anything else in regards to counseling families is simply to share knowledge with husbands and wives about their mate. About so much of the time, women do not understand men. Men do not understand women. And for a marriage to be successful, you need to have that knowledge. Knowledge is power. Yet many people, I'm afraid, today have ignored and neglected the most important and fundamental source of knowledge. Of course, I'm speaking of God's Word. God has revealed unto us the knowledge, the most important knowledge and information that we need for life and for eternity in His Word. I would like in the next few Sundays, the Lord willing, Lord help me toward that end, to bring some messages in regards to some things that I believe are important to the life of each and every Christian, the life of a congregation. And as I study and look at these things, the very first and foremost thing, if I was to say there's one need that God's people has today, it's a need for the knowledge of God's Word. To me, that's the greatest deficiency found in our lives as Christians today, is our lack of knowledge about God's Word and lack of application of that Word to our lives. Paul wrote 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, comes from God. And it's profitable for doctrine, he says. But that's teaching, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good, or every good work. God's Word completely furnishes us unto the works that we need to do. It is profitable for our teaching, our instruction, our training in righteousness, one translation puts it. So God's Word is given to us for that purpose. Psalm 119 and 105, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, God told the children of Israel, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need that knowledge that comes from God. We do not need only physical food in order to sustain us. We need God's Word to sustain us, to give us guidance. We need that knowledge in order to live. And then I'd like to read a portion of about 8 verses from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, before we're going to get to the verse that Richard read for us this morning from the prophet Hosea. Proverbs chapter 3, my son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. You know, as you listen to that, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in God with all your heart. We don't study His Word. We don't know His Word. And we're having to rely upon our own understanding, aren't we? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That word there, direct, could have been translated, make smooth and straight your paths. Acknowledge Him. Listen to His Word. Follow Him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. How important God's Word then is to us. The source of the greatest knowledge and information that there is comes from God's Word. And Hosea gives a very severe warning about what will happen to those who reject the Word of God, who do not have the time, who will not take the time, who will not make the effort to know God's Word. Listen to what Hosea says in Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Now notice he says the Lord brings a charge. The King James says there the Lord has a controversy. He has a controversy with them. Yes, he's bringing charges against them, argument with them, bringing charges. Hosea here is acting as the Lord's prosecutor on behalf of God, prosecuting the children of Israel. There's the charge. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forsaken the law of your Lord, I will also forget your children. Hosea here, as he brings his charges against him, note the charges that there's no truth, there's no mercy, and there's not any knowledge of God in the land. But notice the results that he mentions here. He says there is swearing, in verse number 2, lying, killing, stealing, adultery. That sounds about like today, doesn't it? Not any knowledge of God. There's not any truth. There's not any mercy in the land. And all of this is going on. Homes being broken up. Adultery, fornication, killing, stealing, lying, swearing. He says in verse number 2 also, they break all restraint. Meaning that they do not restrain or control themselves. But they do whatever pleases them, feels good to them. They're not subject to any law. They break all restraint. Verse 2, it says, bloodshed upon bloodshed. The man who's now
Somebody's trying to cut in on us. We got interference from the outside this morning. Cut off my lapel mic here, see if that'll make any difference there, but that's coming in from the outside with the radio or something trying to come in. Bloodshed upon bloodshed, verse number 2. he says there, meaning that there's violence, killing, murder, one up on top of another. In verse 3, he says they will mourn. They're destroying themselves, consuming themselves, the land, the animals, he says, even the fish of the sea, all are going to suffer as a result of there not being the knowledge of God in the land, not being truth and mercy. In verse number 4, in that verse he talks about, don't anyone contend with them or rebuke them. He says, for my people are like those who contend with the priest. They'll argue with God's messenger. They're not concerned about what's right. They have such little regard for God and His Word that they will argue with the priest, the high priest, God's ordained person. And he's probably saying there it may not, that it will not do any good to try to teach or to rebuke the people, because they're like people that will just argue with the priest, argue with God's Word. We have those today too, don't we? Interesting verse in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 12. There God says, the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or will not heed the judge, he says, that man shall die. So shall you put away evil from Israel. Very serious thing to not listen to God's messenger, God's priest. But he says, these people won't listen. They're not interested. In verse number 5, there he talks about they'll stumble in the day and stumble in the night. Probably saying whether it's day or night, the people, the priest along with them, will not escape the calamity that's coming because they have rejected the word of God. They have rejected the knowledge of God. Other results are mentioned in verse number 5. I'll destroy your mother. I will forget your children. Everyone, everything, the whole land, all the people suffer when there is not mercy and truth and the knowledge of God in the land. And notice the reason for it. In verse 6, he spells it out. Because of a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, he says, I will reject you. Because you have forgotten the law of your God. Pretty serious situation. Knowledge truly is power. The knowledge of God is the most powerful knowledge that there is. You know, the Bible is a guide given to us in regards to the purpose of life here upon this earth. And how to live life successfully here upon this earth. It tells us such things, answers the most fundamental questions of life. Like, where did we come from? Where's the beginning of life? What's the purpose of life here? What is of real value and worth? How do you find happiness and joy and peace and love? What is right and what is wrong? Who shall I marry? How shall I have a successful marriage? How do I raise children? How can I be an employee or an employer? Treat employee or employees right. How to have a good relationship with other people where I work, with whom I associate. Why do we die? What happens after death? Are we of value to God? All these and many, many more questions are answered in God's Word, in the Bible. The teachings of the Bible are the basis for the civilized world. You take away the teachings of the Bible and you take away civilization, and we end up in an uncivilized society if you take away these things. The worth of knowing the Bible has been proven to man again and again. Like a tree from which we take the luscious fruit. Year after year, we know its worth. You know, you can tell a tree's worth by the fruit that it bears. You look at the Bible and the fruit that it bears, and you cannot begin to escape the conclusion that it is from God. Christians do not have to be convinced that the Bible came from God, because we have seen the fruit that it bears. Obedience to the Word of God always makes a person better, happier, and more successful. You've never heard someone say that being a Christian or that living by the Bible has ruined their lives? Never heard anybody say that. That's ruined their lives, or it's destroyed their family or their business, or destroyed their happiness because they've lived by the Bible? And I can cite you person after person whose lives have been wrecked, whose families have been destroyed, whose children have been hurt and ruined in many cases for life, because people have failed to live by God's Word. Its teachings are thus the basis for all the civilized world. All the principles and respect for the principles of truth and justice, love, righteousness are taught in the Bible. Bible teaching is the basis for the home. It tells us in regard to the rearing of children. Principles practiced today, a nation is held together and can only exist as long as truth, the truths and principles of the Bible, are practiced. The principles of respect and love for all nations and races are from the Bible. It's man who practices prejudice and hatred and bigotry that's contrary to God's Word. The principles of a fair and just wage and righteous treatment of employees and employees are all taught in the Bible. The truths taught in the Bible elevate all men and elevate all women to the positions and give them the dignity that God intended for us to have. And so the Bible is a guide to how we're to live here. And it'll make our lives successful and happy and give us the peace and the love that we so desperately want and need. But the Bible is a guide to eternity and a guide to life with God in the heavenly home also. It's able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, Acts 20 and verse 32. It will help us to receive that inheritance. It has the power to save us when it's obeyed. James 1 and 21 says we should lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. It will give us life. Psalms 119 and verse 93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. So the Bible is a guide for all of life, here and eternity. Obedience to it will enable us to receive the promised eternal inheritance in heaven. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a resurrection from the dead, gotten us into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's all by the Word of God. I'm proud that there are some who have undertaken to read the Bible through this coming year. And some have asked for some guides to read it through. I'd encourage you to join them if at all possible. We need God's Word. To reject that is to reject the most important thing in all of life. The Bible creates faith in God. It gives us hope for eternal life and that eternal home in heaven with Him. As I said in the beginning, there is nothing needed more. You know, we study all sorts of things, don't we? From the news that we listen to in our world, to periodicals, to textbooks of all kinds. Because we know that knowledge is important to us. But the most important knowledge of all is the knowledge of God's Word. By that Word, we can be ushered one day into the very presence of God. John says that he was showed a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, that proceeded from the throne of God and of the Lamb, as he viewed heaven. And he said, in the middle of its streets, and on either side of the street, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There'll be no more curse there, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. That's what knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's Word can give to each and every one of us. To say nothing of what it gives for us here in this life. My friends, these are only some of the reasons why you and I need to read and to study God's Word. And if I've said before, if there's one thing that I could change, one thing that I could accomplish in the lives of each and every one of us, it would be for us to have a greater knowledge of God's Word. It'll help us also to know our enemy, Satan. It'll help us to know the effects of sin in our lives. It will warn us of false teachers and the pitfalls of life that are there. I could go on and on listing the things about the Bible that are important to us, important knowledge and information. But in short, your happiness and success in this life and in the life to come depends upon your knowledge of God's Word, the Bible. And of course, your obedience to it. Just to know something is not going to benefit us one little bit, is it? We must obey that word also. It must be put into obedience. It's through obedience to that word that we purify our souls. It's not just the hearing of it. How we need to study God's word. Bible classes in our home on a daily basis, Wednesday night, Sunday night. God's word must be all important. There is no knowledge that you and I need more than God's word and obedience to it. Have you obeyed his word? Have you obeyed all that you know of his word? You might say, well, preacher, I just don't know everything about it. Well, have you put into practice what you do know? If you've not rendered that initial obedience to it, and you know that you need to render that initial obedience to it, why not do that this morning? Jesus said that if we did not believe that he was the Son of God, we'd die in our sins. Do you believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God? He said if we would confess him before men, he'll confess us before his Father who's in heaven. And you confess before men that faith that you have that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Likewise in Luke 13 and verse 3, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Have you repented? Would you make that decision this morning to turn your life around? To leave a life of neglecting of God and his word and service to him, and to begin from this point forward to render obedience to him and his commands in every way that you are capable of doing so? That's repentance. Won't you do that this morning if you need to? And have you been baptized, raised to walk in that newness of life? If you've not rendered obedience to that command this morning, won't you render obedience to it? Or if as a Christian you have been neglecting this command to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, won't you repent of that this day? What better time at the beginning of a new year to make this the year that you dedicate yourself to the knowledge of God's word, knowing and obeying that knowledge? You're subject to the invitation. Will you not come while we stand up, while we sing?